The word today is ascension. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. People try to make themselves appear powerful in a vain attempt to appear glorious. In contrast, God is glorious, having unlimited power and wisdom. As God's Son, Jesus, shares that power and wisdom, He showed His divinity through many miracles, but His glory was seen in His ascension. He departed, but promised that He will return with the fullness of His glory on display. Here with more on this exciting topic is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Ascension.
Let's spend a few minutes talking about the glory of God. I would imagine that most of us who believe in God would think it would be just such a fantastic experience if we could look upon His glory, if we could see His majesty. That was something that Moses wanted to do, and at one point he actually said to God, "Show me your glory." We'll get to that in just a few minutes, but let's start by thinking about one of the most glorious events in the New Testament in relation to Jesus. It's called the Ascension, and it means that Jesus was physically taken up, bodily taken up into heaven, and disappeared from the apostles' sight, and that meant he was leaving. He had told the apostles that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and 10 days later we have the event of Pentecost, which was when the Holy Spirit came with a very powerful sound of a violent wind and with tongues of fire that rested on them and enabled them to speak in other languages. This ascension of Jesus is the last miraculous event that takes place with His ministry here on earth, and it is glorious. He is leaving with the assurance that He would remain with His followers, that He would not leave them as orphans, and certainly enough, the Holy Spirit came with visible signs, and that He would return. In fact, that was part of the event. Let me read for you from Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 6. "So when they met together, they asked Him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven.'" We're going to talk about the glory of the ascension of Jesus in just a moment here, but let's start by thinking about different forms of glory that spiritual beings and humans attempt to get for themselves. We're going to start with Satan. Satan tried a power grab. He attempted to usurp God. This was early on in the history of this universe. It's clouded in mystery. We don't know the details, but we do know that Satan was a fallen archangel, and it was probably pride or arrogance that motivated him to rebel against the Lord. Jesus references that event in Luke chapter 10, where he discusses seeing Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And since then, he's been terrorizing and tricking humanity into rebellion against God in order to try to destroy the good creatures that the Lord had made. There's all kinds of different forms of human glory. For instance, the very wealthy seem to be glorious in their riches. People with political or military power seem glorious in terms of their strength or might. Beauty is also another form of glory. There is such a striking appearance of some people with their beauty. And then fame, individuals that are talented or rise to be something in the eyes of the public, seem to have a sort of social glory. But none of it lasts. For humans, glory fades. We think about people in the Old Testament, like Deborah, who was a judge of Israel and was a conqueror, and King David or Solomon. We think about secular leaders, ancient rulers like Cleopatra or Nebuchadnezzar, and then more modern leaders moving forward in time like Alexander, Julius Caesar, or Napoleon, and then heading to the westward expansion of the globe. And we have in North America famous names of George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. We have super rich people through the ages, Rockefeller, Vanderbilt, Gates, and Buffett. And then we have famous individuals, people whose names were really at the top of the charts of popularity and entertainment. At the time, there were the Beatles, Michael Jackson, and you can think of others. In every culture, there are individuals who are very famous and powerful and popular, and they have a great deal of glory in human terms, but it all fades. It doesn't last. It's all earthly. In fact, in Isaiah 40, the prophet said, "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." Well, that's just like Jesus Christ. The scriptures say Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he is the Son of God. Because he is eternal. He is divine. We think about the glory of Jesus Christ and the fact that he represents the love of God. And this is what God really wants to be known for. He doesn't want to just have people know him for his acts of retribution and punishment of sin. But he also wants, and I think foremost wants individuals, to know of his glory as expressed through sending his Son Jesus Christ to be the Redeemer of this world. He showed his love in sending Jesus. Why? Because he felt compassion. He felt pity that the creatures that he had made, the humans, were being ravaged, destroyed by sin. So he took it upon himself, literally, by having his Son bear our sin on the cross so that we might be redeemed, so that we could be saved. And that's why I ask you to put your faith and your trust, your hope in Jesus Christ. You're going to put your hope and trust somewhere. You can either put it in humans, or you can put it in nature, or you can put it in the true and living God. And I suggest that these others will let you down. Humans are corrupted, sinful, and they're finite beings. They can't save you. Nature is just a creation of God. They're just effects, and they may be living, but they can't save you either. The Creator and the Redeemer can save you. And that's what the Bible teaches, is that we have a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's this God who is saving us humans from our corruption and sin and death. So when Jesus had finished and accomplished that humble task of preaching and teaching and healing and then allowing the sinful humans to put him on a cross to suffer and die, once he was done with that lower task, that humble task, he began with the resurrection to reassume his rightful glory. And the ascension of Jesus is the moment where he is leaving this realm, this world of glory, and ascending back to his heavenly glory. That's his native environment. That's where he is at home in his bliss and glory. So there are a couple of things that are significant about the ascension. In verse 3 of Acts chapter 1, it shows that the resurrection of Jesus was accepted and that it demonstrated that he had defeated death. In verse 4, we're told that he would send the Holy Spirit, that it would be like tag team. He would hand off to the Holy Spirit. And now we live in the era of the Spirit, the era of the church. In verses 7 and 8, the question arose by his followers, you know, what are you going to do next? Are you going to hand the kingdom over to Israel? And his point was, it's not for us to know the dates and times. We merely need to be ready and watchful, waiting for his return. And in fact, that's what the angels said in verse 11, is that he will come back in the same way that we saw him go. So we anticipate that Jesus will descend from heaven at the judgment day. Those apostles could not have guessed the amazing things that were going to happen to them in the days ahead because of the glory of Jesus, starting with Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then seeing thousands of individuals converted and coming to faith in Jesus. The miracles that they would do over the course of their lifetime, where Jesus told them, "You'll do greater things than I, because I am returning to the Father," and the Holy Spirit allowed them to do amazing, glorious things. And yes, they also saw jail and beatings and death in Jesus' name. But they are going to be raised to eternal glory, a resurrection and life eternal with God. Well, we're living in the interim between the ascension of Jesus and his return. And I want you to keep thinking about the glory of Christ, how glorious it was that he came to suffer and die for our sins and rose again so that we can be confident that we'll have eternal life in his name. And the glory that he will show when he appears once again. I hope that you're putting your trust in Christ, that you'll long for his appearing, that you're living waiting for that. What a great thing it'll be when Jesus returns in order to bring us from this sinful, corrupted world and take us to God the Father to live in heaven with him for eternity. It'll be fantastic. It'll be such a glorious event, and I hope that you are looking forward to being part of it.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.